Handbook and turn to the hymn number 695. As you do so, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. The hymn number 695, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. 695, we'll stand to sing this hymn of Philip Paul Blisses. Let's seek the Lord together in word of prayer, and let's pray for this special service, this Children's Day service. I'm praying for all the boys and girls and God's servant as he brings God's precious word. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence and we're thrilled as we're thinking of what we've just sung, Jesus loves even me. We understand our faults, our feelings. We understand our imperfections, even as thy people. And yet thou hast said that thou dost love us with an everlasting love. Thank thee that thou hast said that he loves his own right to the very end. We rejoice in this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank thee that Christ came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we thank thee, dear God, that there is a way of salvation, a salvation from sin, salvation from hell, found through the cross work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is our desire that none would be seen but Jesus only in this house tonight. We pray that every boy and girl, every young person as they participate, that they might know much help and assistance, even in the word. And as they do their parts and as they sing their pieces, may everything be brought together, and may God himself alone be glorified. We pray for our brother tonight, Mr. Shields. May thy hand be upon him. May he know the infilling of thy spirit, help in the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Encourage him, dear God, in these days. May he know much help and assistance as he declares thy precious word. Pray, O God, that thou wilt save in this house. Thou art a God of salvation. Thou art the one who sees from sin and sees, O God, to the uttermost. Do this in the gospel, we pray. Glorify thine only begotten Son. Grant, dear God, much glory to be brought to thy name. And grant, O God, thy blessing, even upon all endeavors here in the gospel. For we offer prayer in and through our Savior's precious and worthy and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Well, we welcome you in the Savior's name to our Children's Day service, and we thank you for coming, and the children will be presenting many items of praise and recitations tonight. And we trust that you'll listen to the words, not only seeing them, but that you'll listen to the truths that they'll present in the gospel. We're going to have our first Bible recitation this evening, and Ethan Brown is going to come and he's going to recite for us Isaiah chapter 53 and the verses 1 to 6. Okay, thank you. Go on ahead, Ethan.
The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verses 1 to 6, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. For he hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, yet we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of Saul."
We understand from the book of Acts of who Isaiah is speaking of. He's speaking not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was the one who was despised and rejected of men. He was the one who came to his own, and his own received him not. I wonder, do you know this Savior? And do you know this one that Ethan has been speaking about? Thank you, Ethan. We're going to have a quartet at this time. We're having it from our youngest members of our Sunday school. And so we're going to have Michaela and Maisie and Grace and Bethany. And they're going to sing that favourite children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Thank you. And what a wonderful blessing that is to know that Jesus loves me. This I know. We're going to have a poem, and it's in the same theme, line of thought, and it is entitled, Jesus Loves Me. We're going to have Niamh Montgomery and Aaron Wilson to come and recite this poem at this time. Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me. I might only be young, but there's one thing I really do know, and that is Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
In John chapter 3, verse 16, this message is clear and true, for God sent His Son to die on the cross for me and you.
And another thing I know, we are all born with sin in our heart, but when we come to God for salvation, a new life in Him, we can start.
Yes, I might only be young, but friend, listen, well, to my plea, accept the Lord as your Saviour, and you too from sin can be free.
And how true it is, we're all born with sin in our heart, but thank God there's salvation from sin, and it's found alone in the cross work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're going to have another poem. Luke McCallion is going to come, and he's going to recite for us the story of Jesus. And listen to the words that Luke will bring to your heart.
The story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell why He came from above. Was it because we were sinners? Was it in pity and love? I love to hear about Jesus. He was always so patient and kind. He went all alone over the mountains, the sheep He was straying to find. I love where He fed all the hungry, when the little boy gave Him his bread. How He said, "Arise, little maiden," to the poor little girl who was dead. Oh yes, I will open to Jesus. And gladly I'll let Him come in. I want to know Him as my Saviour. I long He should pardon my sin.
What a blessing to know Christ came on a rescue mission to save us from our sin. We're going to have the choir to sing, and they're going to sing their first two pieces, "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me and Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It." I'm so glad and redeemed how I love to proclaim it.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am.
And in order for us to be redeemed, we need a Redeemer. And who is this Redeemer? Well, He is the God-man. And we're going to hear about the God-man, and we're going to have a poem, and Joe McMullen is going to recite for us this poem entitled The God-man.
The God-man, our blessed Lord, combined in one, two natures both complete, a perfect manhood all sublime, in Godhead all replete. As man He entered Canaan's feast, a humble quest to dine. As God He moved the waters there, and changed it into wine. As man He climbed the mountain's height, a supplicant to be. As God He left the place of prayer, and walked upon the sea. As man He wept in heartfelt grief, beside a loved one's grave. As God He burst the bands of death, almighty still to save. As man He lay within a boat, o'erpowered by needful sleep. As God He rose, rebuked the wind, and stilled the angry deep. Such was our Lord in life on earth, in dual nature one, the woman's seed in very truth, and God's eternal Son. O child, O Son, O Word made flesh, may Thy high praise increase, called Wonderful, the Mighty God, Eternal Prince of Peace.
What a unique Saviour we have in the Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man, the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He became a man, yet never ceased to be God, and that's what suits Him and fits Him to be a Redeemer, one who can reconcile us to God, one who reconciles fallen man to holy God and holy God to sinful man. May you come to know the very God-man tonight in the Gospel. We're going to have another Bible recitation, and we're having Jonathan McMullen and Samuel Laverty, and they're going to recite for us Psalm 139.
Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways.
There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it.
Whither shall I go from Thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea,
even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both light to Thee.
For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth.
Thine eyes to see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee.
Psalm that reminds us of God's omnipresence. He's everywhere and sees us and knows all about us, and there's never a place that we can try and run and hide from God. Thou, God, seest me and knowest me altogether. Thank you, Jonathan and Samuel. As we said this morning, Sunday school is made up of different people. We have a Sunday school superintendent and we have children who come along, but integral part of any Sunday school is a Sunday school teacher. We're going to have one of our Sunday school teachers at this time, our sister Mrs. Mabel Brown, who's been a teacher for many years. maybe even decades, plenty of decades. There's decades there. We thank God for her sister. And she's going to recite a poem, and it's entitled Sunday School. And I trust that you'll be encouraged and that you'll take our Sunday School teachers on your heart and pray for them as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this way.
Sunday School. She sat down so dejected and wondered should she leave, when a grubby little hand tugged at her coat sleeve. A voice asked if she'd listen, and the child began to cry. She said, "Teacher, I'm not ready if it came my turn to die. For I don't know the Saviour, and I'm lost and so alone. Do you think the Lord would take me in and make me all his own? My heart is black and sinful, and I want it white as snow. And you've told me only Jesus' blood can cleanse and make it so. I've given lots of trouble in class most every week, but I couldn't help remembering I'm the one Christ came to seek. And even though I saw the tears, yes, I made you cry today. You put your arm around me and I couldn't go away. And through the love you have shown me, I'm sure Jesus loves me too. I want him now to save me. You'll tell me how, won't you?" So teacher then and pupil knelt together side by side, and that little girl discovered Jesus' arms were open wide. That little girl grew up and now is far away, pointing boys and girls to Jesus in another land today. It was worth all the teaching, nor was it e'er in vain, for that teacher never wondered if she should leave again.
What a privilege to tell boys and girls about Jesus' blood, the only thing that can take our sins away. And we thank God for all of our Sunday school teachers, and we thank God for their faithfulness as they have brought the Word of God week by week, even throughout another year. This time we'll have an instrumental, and Luke Murphy is going to play his flute. Two pieces, stand up for Jesus, and pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Maybe God is passing by your heart and you've let him pass by before. Well, don't let him pass by tonight. May he come and enter your life and into your heart even this evening. We live in a farming community here, and we're going to have a few men, and they're going to speak about the fertile field. Jonathan Wilson, Nathan Montgomery, and Peter Laverty, and they're going to recite this poem called The Fertile Field.
How great the yield from a fertile field. The farmer ploughs through the fields of grain, and the blade of the plough is sharp and keen. But the seed must be sown to bring forth grain, for nothing is born without suffering and pain.
And God never ploughs in the soul of man without intention and purpose and plan. So whenever you feel the plough's sharp blade, let not your heart be sorely afraid.
For like the farmer, God chooses a field from which he expects an excellent yield. So rejoice, though your heart be broken in two. God seeks to bring forth a rich harvest in you.
God's word is described as a seed, and when it's sown in our hearts, it will bring forth a harvest. We're assured of that. We're assured that whenever we go forth bearing precious seed, we'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. May God cause even this district to become a fertile field, even for the glory and the praise of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a Bible recitation, and Noah Murphy is going to come, and he's going to recite for us at this time the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities upon the fathers, unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested in the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's life, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's.
Well, that's excellent recitation from memory, and we thank God for the ability to bring these things into our minds. And may they not only be in the mind, but right into the heart. And may we live our lives in light of the law of God. And may in doing that, we gain happiness and joy as we obey the Lord. For that will be a blessing even in our own lives. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We want to thank you for coming just at this time. We have some more people to take part, but we just want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. If you're visiting, come again. Don't make it your only visit throughout the year. We see some people, and maybe we don't see you for another little while, but we want to encourage you to come along to the house of God. Week after week, we meet 12 noon, 7 p.m. each Lord's Day, and if you're an individual in the community, maybe nowhere to worship the Lord, well, you'll be made feel welcome even in God's house. And in welcoming you, we also want to welcome our brother, Mr. Shields, Mr. Noel Shields, who's here tonight to bring the word of God, as he's been with us already today. Make the announcements very quickly. We'll do it as quick as we can. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. is our Bible study and prayer meeting. We continue our study on revival and how we really need, again, a breath of heaven, a moving of God's Spirit, times of refreshing from the presence miracles of the Lord, and we're going to look at some of the particulars of revival even this Wednesday night in the will of God. Friday night, presbytery is in Dungannon at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, 10:30, Sunday School Bible class, 12 noon, our family worship service, followed by the communion service, 3:30, the bi-weekly open air on Main Street, 7 p.m., the gospel service. I'll be the preacher at all of those services next Lord's Day. Can I thank all who have helped us with respect to our Children's Day, the children especially, the parents, the Sunday school teachers, and our sister Mrs. Strong for all of the work done behind the scenes. Thanks again to those who went to the Let the Bible Speak television recording in Lurgan. We're thankful for your support and was deeply appreciated. And for the seniors who came on Thursday for our first seniors trip, enjoyable time was had by all, and we thank God for answer to prayer. Ladies' outing is on Saturday, the 29th of June. All details on the hallway table sheets there. See your sisters, Mrs. Cameron, Mrs. Rowe, concerning that if you have any questions. The annual church barbecue is on Friday, the 21st of June at 7 p.m. You're very welcome to come. It's open to all. Sign-up sheets in the hallway just for catering purposes. And we trust that the Lord will give us an enjoyable night and a dry night on that particular evening, Friday the 21st of June at 7 p.m. Remember the gospel mission in Killymuck. It's happening from the 22nd of September in the Orange Hall there. Brother Mr. Shields will be preaching in the gospel, and so pray for that gospel mission. There's little cards on the magazine stand. Please take one on your way out to pray day by day that the Lord will come down by His Spirit even in that community, and that we'll see many brought to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, just for our own folks and for those of you who are on praying ground, we want to encourage you to pray for our sister, Mrs. Ruth Miller. You'll know that the Millers are our missionaries in Uganda. Well, our sister Ruth has been diagnosed with malaria. Tonight she's in hospital and she's on a drip. So pray for her sister. I pray that this drip will be helpful. She's had these symptoms since Wednesday, thought it was flu, and they took her into hospital this afternoon and have diagnosed her with malaria. And so let's pray for Sister Ruth. She requests prayer, and we can leave her before the throne of grace that the Lord will raise her up again to a good measure of health and strength. Let's turn to the hymn 682, a hymn number 682. We're singing the verses 1, 2, and the verse number 4 only. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting, who will bear the sheaves away? I think we have an offering tonight. We normally do. And so I trust that the young man who picked this up this morning, that you'll pick it up again this evening. 682, we'll remain seated for a number of verses here, please.
Jesus Christ, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting, who will bear
That's the other hymn book away. Long before I knew him, he knew me. I speak of Christ, and that is true. Before we ever came to faith in Christ, thank God there's one who set his love upon us. And we are going to hear about that in a poem entitled Long Before I Knew Him. And Isaac Brown is going to come and recite it at this time.
Long before I knew him, Jesus thought of me, left his home in glory to die on Calvary, gave his life for ransom, from sin set me free. Long before I ever knew him, Jesus died for me. Just how Jesus knew me, I don't understand, and how enough he drew me, according to God's plan. I'm so glad he saved me, fulfilled God's just demand. When someday I stand before him, then I'll understand.
What a thought that is, that long before we knew him, Christ thought of us. We're going to have a solo, and Rhoda Laverty is going to come, and she's going to sing Take Up Thy Cross. If we are to win the crown, then we'll have to take up the cross. Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. May we take up his cross day by day and follow in the footsteps of our Savior. The choir are going to come and sing, and they're going to sing, Come and Hear the Gospel Story. And they're going to sing, Christ is the Savior of Sinners. And then finally, Come to Christ, the Blessed Savior. Listen to these words, and may God challenge you as you hear them singing the gospel. Thank you.
Sin and sorrow, trust in the reason.
Well, thank you, boys and girls, and may the challenge of that final piece come to your heart. Why not leave your sin and sorrow and trust in the Redeemer's blood? He'll justify and save you and take you to heaven above. And I thank the boys and girls again. I meant to say that there are sweets in a basket. Maybe some of you have seen them. You take something out of the basket at the end of the service, and I trust that that will encourage you to continue to help us out here in the gospel. We're glad to have our brother Mr. Shields with us. He's going to come and bring God's word at this time. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Mr. Stewart for the warm words of welcome. Great to see so many here tonight. And I had to congratulate the boys and girls and the young people. That was great. And you did very well in saying your pieces and, of course, the singing. Now, we want to come to a story from the best book in the world. What's the best book? Yes? The Bible. Yes, the Bible. It is the best book in the world. It's God's Word. All right, the God who made us. God has spoken to us, boys and girls, and moms and dads, and he has told us many lessons in his word. Now, I want to come to a story tonight in the Bible. What would you want to be when you grow up? Who would like to shout up at me? Who would like to be a farmer? Any farmers? Just one farmer. Why is it going to be tough going in the years to come, isn't it? And look how much beef about. We'll all be vegetarians, isn't that right? Well, who would like to be a school teacher? Well, I'm glad to see that. I never liked school, isn't that right? Well, who would like to be a policeman? Well, that's going to be grim and handy to work, eh? No policemen, no teachers, no farmers. Well, I want to tell you tonight about a man who was a prophet. And his name was Jonah. His name was Jonah. Now, I want to tell you, there's a few things you need to be a prophet. Number one, you have to be saved. You have to have the Lord Jesus in your heart. And you have to have him as your Savior. That's number one. To be God's prophet, you must be saved. Another thing is, boys and girls, and moms and dads, you had to be called. You had to be chosen to be a prophet or a minister or servant. Jonah didn't wake up someday and say, well, I think I know what I'm going to work at. I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to be a prophet. No, that's not how it works. God calls people to serve him. That's why I'm in the pulpit tonight, and Mr. Stewart, because God saved us, and then he called us to preach the word of God. So Jonah was a prophet. Remember, he preached the word of God. That's the greatest blessing, boys and girls, that to hear God's word and his message of salvation. Well, Jonah was just a man. And we find in the Bible that God came to Jonah and he says to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to do something. I want you to get away down to Nineveh. There's a wicked city called Nineveh and I want you to preach against it. But Nineveh, Jonah's heart nearly jumped out of him. Of all the places God wants me to go, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like the people in Nineveh. That was about 500 miles away. He said to himself, no way am I going to go to Nineveh. He disobeyed God. And the Bible says he went away down to Joppa and he was looking for a ship to go the opposite direction. And a ship arrived that was going to Tarshish. It was about 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. And the ship was coming in, and Jonah says, listen, can I get onto this boat? Oh, of course, the man said. But Jonah had a few pounds in his pocket. Oh, right, you can get onto our boat, all right. And Jonah got on the boat. He was running away from God. He was running away from God. And you know, boys and girls and moms and dads, there are many people and they run away from God. And maybe there's some people here tonight and God's been speaking to you about coming to Jesus Christ. Well, poof, away you go. When you try to talk to some people about Christ, the next minute the conversation's changed. I'm very busy. I have to go. Sometimes people will pay the price just to get away from God. Pay any price. That's what Jonah, he wanted to get away from this. And he was willing to pay a price. And I wonder tonight, what price are you paying to get away from God? To get away from God. Well, Jonah got on the boat. I'm sure he got on the boat. Ooh, this is good. I'm getting out of here. I ain't going to Nineveh. Though God had told him, Jonah, get down to Nineveh. And so we read this great story in the Bible, and it tells us that God did something. But, you can read the buts in the book of Jonah. The whole picture changed, boys and girls, because the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. A great storm arose. And the boat went up, and the boat went down. And the men in the boat who were mariners, who were fish, or who were sailors, they were, certainly were experienced men, and they were troubled, and they were fearful. And Jonah, he was down in the very bottom of the ship. He was sleeping. And these men cast things into the sea, and they cried to their gods. The life was scared out of them. Who likes sailing? Nobody likes sailing down around here at all. And nobody drives down around here, is that right? Boys, I know how he's getting about in Portland. No, nobody drives cars this morning, and nobody likes boats, is that right? Well, if you're ever in a boat, and I used to, when I was in Scotland, coming back and forward from Scotland, and sometimes it was very rough, it ain't nice. Well, these men were troubled, and they cried unto their gods on the way down, and to Jonah, and they says, "Wake thou that sleepest." He was sleeping. Boys, I wouldn't have been sleeping. I wouldn't have been sleeping at all, boys and girls. And they says, "Well, waken and call upon your gods. And get this storm. There's a great storm and we're going to perish." So then boys and girls have started to question Jonah. Because they cast lots. It says, "We're going to find out whose fault this is. It's somebody's fault in this boat." Whose fault do you think it was? Who can tell me? Whose fault? It was Jonah's. So the cast lots, now that's a bit like us drawing straws. And the lot came out to Jonah. And the men looked at Jonah and they says, "Well, what is your occupation? And whence comest thou? And from what country? And of what people art thou? What do you work at? What are you doing? What's your people?" And Jonah says, "Well, I'm in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God that made the heavens and the earth and the sea." When the men heard that, they were troubled. It's your fault. It's your fault. Because Jonah had told them that he's running away from God. It's all your fault. And they said on to Jonah, "How are we going to get this storm stopped?" And Jonah said, "Well, the only thing you can do is to take me up and cast me into the sea, and then the storm will stop." Well, the men said, "Oh, well, we can't do this." Well, they tried to row, and they tried this, and they tried that. They tried this, and they tried that, boys and girls. At last, they couldn't do it. And they lifted up Jonah. And they got a hold of him. And they just fired him into the sea. Now remember, the boat was going up like a cork. There was great waves. The wind was blowing. And as soon as Jonah hit the water, there was great calm. And the men feared exceedingly. And they cried unto God and they made vows. The men actually got saved. They found the true God of heaven because of the storm. I can say to people tonight, whatever storms in your life, God may be shaking some people tonight. He's dealing with you about your sin, about your soul. He's showing that Jesus Christ, he's a Savior. He can take away your sin. He can give you everlasting life. He sends storms to shake us sometimes, just to get our attention. Well, they fired Jonah into the water. And you can see something in this corner here, can't you? You think that's the end of Jonah? Not according to the Bible. No. It tells us here that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And you can think of this for Jonah. He was just down into the water, and the next minute he looked behind him. Who's behind him? The big fish. Do you see that? And it swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah was found down in the belly of the whale. Now, what a shock this was for Jonah, boys and girls, to be swallowed by this great fish. And the Bible tells us it was the whale's belly for 3 days and for 3 nights. And it must have been an awful place to be. Who would like to spend 3 nights or 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish? No. So you don't like yours, you don't like boats, and you don't like whales' bellies. It's not right. Well, I wouldn't either. It must have been rotten. And don't forget, it would have been dark. And we have a photo just showing us something, what it had been like for this man to be in the whale's belly. It was darkness. And there's Jonah. He's down in the whale's belly for 3 days now and for 3 nights. He might be saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of here? There's only one thing he could do. Just one thing, boys and girls and moms and dads. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He started to pray. He looked to the God of heaven. He looked to his Savior. And he started to pray unto God. And he cried to God by his affliction. And he said, I will look again unto the temple. I will look again to Christ. And he's asking God to forgive him. And I will pay my vows, Lord. If you just get me out of here. And I want to say to everyone tonight, especially those not saved, you're in trouble. Maybe you feel you're trapped like a bit in the darkness in a whale's belly. I want to tell you there's hope in the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he died to take away our sin. He shed his blood. And there's hope with Jesus Christ. I want to say that to you tonight. You can look to him. Despite your situation, this is a terrible situation to be in. He's in a belly of a whale down in the depths of the ocean. It seems impossible. But here's the great thing, boys and girls and moms and dads. God could hear him. God could hear him. And that's encouraging for people tonight. And young boys and girls here tonight, if you're not saved, God can hear you. And you cry to him with all your heart, he'll hear your prayer. And so he cried to him. And God heard. And the Bible tells us in the great book of Jonah that the Lord spoke to the fish and says, right, dump off. Well, not those particular words, but spake to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah. So the fish went, was sick. You ever been sick? There's something in his stomach here. Shouldn't have been there. Not right. Sometimes we're sick, and there's something in our stomach that shouldn't be there. Well, there was something in the fish's belly that didn't agree with him. You know who it was, don't you? It was Jonah. And he coughed him up, vomited him up, boys and girls. And there he is. He's out. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Jonah, go to that great city of Nineveh and tells him here to preach the preaching that I bid thee. Well, do you think Jonah's going to go now? Of course he is. God gave him another chance. And the Lord, God gives us all chances. It gives us all another chance. Maybe someone's saved tonight and you've disobeyed God and you're away from the Lord tonight in this meeting. Another chance. He's a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance, isn't he? Isn't God so merciful and so loving and so kind through Jesus Christ? And he spoke to them and he told them to go and he sent them here to this city of Nineveh and he gave them a sermon. Well, who likes short sermons? Every hand's maybe up here. All right, your hand up, brother. Oh, well, he went 3 days into the city. You can close your eyes, maybe put their hands up. And he says, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Is that it? That's a queer sermon, isn't it? 40 days. There he is. 40 days. And Nineveh's going to be overthrown. God's going to judge this city. You have 40 days. I just happened to look today. 40 days from now. You know what that is? I've been over 40 days from now. It's a special day. It's the 12th of July. That's it. So imagine I went into Port Danone tonight and says, 40 days and Port Danone's going to be overthrown. Eh? One of the people, that's a madman on the street, but God sent him. God told him, you better preach us. I've looked down, these people's full of sin and wickedness, and sin brings trouble, it brings death, it brings us down to brings them down to hell, and it gets everybody into trouble. If you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, you're in great trouble because of your sin. What's God said to you? You have 40 days. You've just 40 days. 12th of July. Just up to the 12th, and that's you. And I'm going to deal with you. A solemn message, isn't it? Well, here's what the Bible says. And Jonah, these are strange people. Here's what the people believed, listen, God. Didn't say they believed Jonah. They believed God. They believed this message, boys and girls. It came not from Jonah, but it came from God. And they feared. And the king heard about it, and he made a command, and they put on this sackcloth, this old clothing, and they fasted, and he says, cry, cry, pray unto God that he'll have mercy, and turn away from your sin. He gave the message out to people. Listen, pray, turn away from your sin, God have mercy. And all the people prayed and they cried to God, all of them. Do you think God heard them? Here's the great news. God heard them. God saw their works. They turned from sin, repented from their sin, they cried for mercy. And the great thing about it, boys and girls and moms and dads, he's a God of mercy. And God forgive them. God forgive. Now, that's good news for all of us here tonight. That God will forgive you all your sins. Look to Jesus Christ. Look with all your heart to him. And he'll take away your sin. And he will save your soul. And he will take you to heaven and give you everlasting life. You know, Jonah saw one of the greatest revivals ever took place. And he was very angry. And he says to God, I knew this is what you would do. I knew if I came here that you would give mercy to these people. And I didn't want it. And he didn't want to see them saved at all. God says, did I well to be angry? Jonah says, hey, I tell you what, I wish I was dead. Well, if I came down and preached in Port Danone, coming down outside it to preach in a mission, and everybody got saved, I'd be very happy. But Jonah wasn't. Here he is sitting outside the city, he's watching. Oh, I'm going to watch. I want to see this city. I want to see all these people. I mean, the fire fall down from God in heaven. But you know, God saw his actions here. God put a little plant here to grow over him. Whew, he said, that's good to see that. Whew, that keeps me cool. And you know, the next morning, God prepared a worm. And it ate the plant. And then it was gone. And then God got a nice wind to blow. Whew, and the sweat was pouring clean off. Jonah, I said, boy, it's better for me to die. And God says to him, do you be well to be angry for this God? That has died, this plant, you never planted it. And it's dead, and he felt pity for it. But you don't feel pity for this people. 120,000 little boys and girls in this city, they don't know their left hand from their right. And God was teaching him a lesson, you see. He should have been rejoicing. what God had done. But in the great book of the Bible, this great story about this man who preached a short sermon and the people turned to God. And I want to ask you in closing tonight, have you turned to God? Have you turned to Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? I said earlier on, 40 days and you'll be overthrown. Imagine I came that tonight from God to somebody in the meeting. 40 days, you'll be taken out of here. Are you ready? Are you ready, boys and girls? That's the main thing. Are you saved? It's Jesus Christ in your heart. Not your church. It's not your parents that saved you. Your works. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to turn to him with all your heart. Repent and come and trust him. He will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. Thank you very much for listening.
Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. 40 days, and maybe not even 40 minutes, maybe not even 40 seconds. May God in his mercy speak to your soul. Believe the word, believe in Christ, and he'll save you, and he'll redeem you and make you his child. God is speaking to you. Maybe the storm around you is raging. God has sent the storm. We read there in the book of Nahum that God's way is in the storm. May that storm drive you to the rock of ages. Thank God there's a place of standing there, even in the midst of the storms of life. If God's servant can help you in any way, we'll be at the door. We encourage you to come and speak to us. And may this evening you come to know the Saviour of whom the boys and girls have been speaking of and whom God's servant has been bringing to your attention even this evening. Let's seek the Lord, our Father, and our God in heaven. We think of the solemnity of the message that Jonah brought to that sinful city. The need to repent of sin. Judgment was coming. And how, O God, though the messenger changes, yet the message remains the same. Judgment is coming. And as the days approach, and as the last days come on, many will say, where is the promise of this coming and of his coming? But coming he is, and judgment is about to break. Oh, that men and women would flee to the rock of ages, to the ark of salvation, to the Saviour who alone can save from sin, and oh, to prepare them for that great day. Oh, challenge every heart. Speak on, Lord, by thy Spirit. It is the Spirit that applies the word effectually to the soul. Oh, do this for the glory of Christ our Saviour. Give our thanks for all that we have heard, even in the gospel this evening. And may the word of God ring on and last on in hearts and in lives. For we offer prayer and through our blessed Saviour's name. Amen and amen. Thank you.